Welcome to our Favorite Things podcast, hosted by your fave Nigerian best friend duo, Tiesa.
And your girl, Mofi. Our show is a space for Black folks in the diaspora and at home to feel warm, seen, and informed through conversations about life, community, and a bit of social critique.
Come for our faves, stay for the laughs. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Thanks for listening. We honestly appreciate y'all. If you're new here, we hope you'll stick around. And if you're not new, welcome back. And either way, we hope you enjoy the episode. Mofi, what's up? How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. I'm trying to think of like what's new really in my life or with life. But it's kind of like the same thing. We're recording on a Sunday and this is one of those weekends where it's felt like a blip, like, how is it Monday tomorrow already? Yo. Is where my head is at. So yeah, not loving that at all.
I hate it when that happens.
No, it's just that, like, I feel like we've said this before, but it's just that there's just so much to do all the time that, like, yesterday for the most part I spent yesterday in bed. I like woke up, napped, ate, like did all the good, like restful things.
Luxurious. Oh my god.
You know, like a rare occasion. And at the same time, like, it's like then I have to do like 100 things today to be ready for Monday. And it's fucking crazy.
Yep.
I don't like it.
I hate it.
How did we get here?
I don't know. And this is why we need a 4-day work week, you know, not to go into that conversation, but this is why we need a 4-day work week, because 2 days of the weekend is absolutely ridiculous.
It doesn't make sense. I wonder if in the future, like, you know, future generations will look back and be like, wow, you guys used to work like Monday to Friday. Like, that sounds like the ghetto.
That sounds horrible and surprised you all. Still here. Like, why are we not just like, we're just going to be extinct from stress?
Mm-hmm. And there are also folks that actually work even like 7 days a week, honestly, as well. So like, there's also that, you know, there's lots of even privilege here to get the weekend off. That's or get like true. 1 day off or whatever.
Yeah.
Fucking sucks.
It's funny because I feel like I can't complain, and I feel like maybe I can speak for you too. Like, I can't complain about certain things these days or in the last few years without acknowledging the privilege I even have to be complaining about the situation that I'm in, right?
Like, yeah.
I feel like maybe this is cliche to say, but it could always be, I don't want to use the word worse, but I guess it could always just be more stressed. Like, you know, things could not be as good as they are. So it's also like, you have to complain with a little bit of caution.
Yeah, it really sucks because, like, I think that it's important. I don't know. I feel like, yes, I agree with you. Like, there's a lot of privilege to even be able to, like, complain about shit like this, or to be able to, like, sit down and you won't have the time to podcast and talk about issues. And at the same time, I'm like, it's just like, even from where we're sitting, it's not okay. Like,
exactly,
that's just exactly. The truth, like, yeah. It's not okay. And I know that there's gradients to the shit, so like, if it's not okay, it's not okay on so many levels.
Exactly. I think that's a good point. It's just like bad all around. Like, we shouldn't even be accepting any of it, you know. So
no. Indeed. But I guess we're here, we're podcasting. But how are you? How's life? What's going on?
What's going on? You know what? The same. So my weekend has felt restful, but also it feels like it went by very quickly. So same thing. And I had kind of a stressful, like, sleep deprived week. I hate sleep deprived weeks because it just makes the week feel that much longer, right? Like, I'm going through my days just wanting the day to end, and it just seems so long. And you also alluded to, like, feeling like there's a million things to do. And I'm sorry, does that ever stop? Like, future TSA, come and give me some insight into if my to-do list is ever going to, like, stop. Like, I just feel like I just push things. My to-do list is just always there. It's 5,000 things to do. You know, I feel like I have to split myself in 8 places sometimes, and I just don't want to do it. So that's where I'm at. I'm looking forward to a time in my life where I'm not pulled in so many directions. Work doesn't take up so much of my time. And I have a 3-day weekend every week. So just putting it out there.
Honestly, I was going to say that I don't think so. I feel like to-do list, especially if like... I don't know, if people get like married, if people have children, if people have like businesses, if you have homes, if you have so many things, I just feel like that to-do list just continues to grow. At work this week, we had to listen to this video around like being able to like drop the ball. Like, there's this woman doing a TED talk around like, you know, it's important for women to like know how to drop the ball on certain things because like we're just always doing things. And there was this activity that she had her clients do where she had them list every single thing they had to do in a day and allocate the number of hours they think it would take them to complete those tasks. Uh-huh. And essentially at the end of the day, tally it up and see if it like fits within 24 hours. And she's like, yeah, most of it doesn't even fit within 24 hours. And that's they didn't even like put in like sleep. They didn't put in like rest. It was just like some of them, at least it was just mostly like actual tasks. And it's just like incredibly impossible to get stuff done. Everything that we want to get done.
Exactly. And I was having a conversation with my friend yesterday, just saying how, bro, you need to schedule in those rest periods. Otherwise, you're not going to rest. You're going to keep saying that you want to rest, you want to relax. It's not going to happen. So if that means for me, if it means pushing everything on that to-do list, even the things that fit in that 24-hour period, like I strip it down to the basics. Yesterday, I stripped it down to the basics. I needed to take my brother to the airport. I needed to eat. And I needed to lie down. I literally, like, anything that I did not absolutely need to do, I did not do it. That was how yesterday went. And I feel like you need, even if it's not a whole day like that, you need moments like that in your day. Because there's some people that are just not comfortable with not doing anything. So, like, maybe if it's just an hour or 2 hours in your day. Yeah, I know people like that. But me, I'm very comfortable. Like, I've been in bed for 16 hours. Look. I don't care. In fact, those are some of my premium, like those are some blessed days for me, okay? So even if you're not comfortable, even if you're uncomfortable with just doing nothing, like schedule 1-2 hours in your day to just relax. But we cannot be operating at these high levels of stress, high levels of cortisol, always on, ready to pounce.
I swear. Yeah. Well, we'll just keep on keeping on at this point. Keep on keeping on in the ways that like adulting like is just taking us
for a fucking ride.
I guess we're here and we'll get through. So shout out to all my freaking like workaholics out there that don't like taking breaks, but you know there's just so much to do that it's so uncomfortable. You feel like to you take can't. Breaks.
Yeah.
You just have to rest because Wahala know they finish, so
make you try.
You just have to. You just have exactly. You just have to do your thing. Okay, well, we want to take you guys through our, I guess, conversation for today. Also, I want to say that we're trying a thing out. I don't know if you'll see it or not, but we are trying to record. Have video recordings of the podcast, so
yes.
I don't know wherever this is. I hope like you see it. Fingers crossed.
Oh gosh!
But we want to talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. I think that's the topic. No, I think, but that's the topic of our discussion today. Mm-hmm. We just want to talk about like, you know, sex ed, you know, where we're at right now, how sex, you know, the impacts of either like talking about sex or not has had on our lives thus far. So where I want to start this conversation, Tiese, is that like when we started, before we recorded, we started recording, I had asked you how you're feeling about the topic or about the conversation.
Yeah. I'm putting you on blast for like offline conversation.
Hashtag podcast. Content. You have to create content all the time. But one of the things you had said was that, like, you know, I don't know, I can't remember how you phrased it, but I had asked how you're feeling about the topic, and you said that, you know, you don't really like talking about sex so publicly is not something that you really do, like, outside of your friend group. So I think I just wanted to start from that point. Do you know, like, what that discomfort is, where it comes from?
Y'all, your business partners will do you dirty, okay? It be your own friends, okay? I asked this question, Mofi's like, great, I'm going to ask you on the podcast. But no, I actually think, fair enough, that's actually an easy question to answer. And I think it's a lot of things. One, I think it's just my personality. Like, I think I'm generally not as comfortable talking about more intimate things outside of my friend group. And even with my friend group, Mofi, I'm sure you can testify to this, it's not always been something that I've been able to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of just like coming out of my shell more. And obviously, kind of as you get older, I think it facilitates that process.
Yeah.
But then also growing up in a culture where these conversations, let me speak like about Nigerian culture now, because I think there's even a broader global culture around silencing, the silence around sex, right? Especially when women are talking about it. So just growing up in a culture where those conversations are seen as taboo, I'm not even getting to those conversations. Sometimes just the idea of those conversations, right? Like I remember as a kid, just thinking certain things were bad. Like, I just thought that, like, even certain types of underwear were just bad. You know, like, these underwear represent women who, like, have sex and, like, they're bad because clearly, like, they're having sex out of marriage. Like, why are you wearing a thong? That is so bad, you know? Imagine. Or even lingerie, you know, seeing lingerie around my home and just being like, whoa, what, this is bad, you know, like, and just never talking about it as well, right? Never having, no one was ever talking to me about like my vulva or like my reproductive system, like nothing like that. It was just a thing that was there, and whatever, I interacted with it when I had a shower, and like there was no conversations around it. So I think I've just that's just how I've lived my life, right? As like from childhood to teenage years and like into early adulthood, it's just I haven't ever really needed to have conversations around it. So, yeah.
Did you have any form of sex education growing up?
Bruh, zero. Like,
there was nothing.
Mophie, there was nothing. There was absolutely nothing. And I think I said on the podcast before how I didn't even get conversations around my period.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't a thing. I just knew that when I started my period, all the other girls that were older than me in boarding school had already started their period. So it was them I went to go and talk to. Like, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even have pads. I was like 12 or 13 not having pads. What the heck is that? So I had absolutely no conversations, and I'd like to hear how like your experience, but there was nothing, like nothing, not a single thing. Not even a don't talk to boys because you might get pregnant. Like, I hear people say that, I think it's funny. I didn't even hear that.
I'm trying to remember. I had like a bit of a sex talk in quotes growing up. I don't know. I'm trying to remember at what stage. Like, was it pre-boarding school or was it like while I was in boarding school? I don't remember that in particular. But the only form of like sex talk or sex ed I got growing up was, there's this saying my grandma has, and I don't think any of my cousins are listening to this, but my grandma says this thing like, 1 minute enjoyment, everlasting sorrow. So like, just like, everybody should just deep it.
Oh, literally. Oh my God.
Just deep it on so many levels. First of all, 1 minute? God.
First of all, like, 1 minute?
What we do for 1 minute?
What's happening in 1 minute, bro?
That just already shows, like, how sad it already was. But it was just this concept. So my mom would say that to us growing up, like, you know, 1 minute, to me at least, because my sisters are way younger than I am. So to me, like, 1 minute enjoyment, everlasting sorrow. So that's like the true form. And they say it till now, like, as I'm older and I'm just looking at them like, nah, sis, like, this is not a real thing. Like, we're having sex and nobody's living a sorrowful life. Thank you very much.
Hopefully. That's another conversation. Some people are not enjoying the sex they're having.
This is true. Me, I'm just speaking on behalf of myself, on behalf of everybody else. I don't know. Y'all might be having sorrowful sex and, like, yeah. We'll just leave that on that.
We'll leave it there.
But yeah, so that was like the form. And just for like to picture it, that was the ways that I interacted with sex growing up, or with like particularly like penetrative sex or like vaginal sex. Like, because like something
who even knew about other things? So I didn't even know.
I mean, some of us were doing things that were not penetration at very young ages. That's just what I would say.
Hello.
But there was no form of sex education, so you don't even know that sex. And that's a whole other thing, that like people only consider penis inside the vagina
as sex.
And every other thing that you're doing is not sex. So I'm sure many of us out there. I was listening to a podcast recently that this guy was describing how this girl he was seeing would not have sex. Like, she's like, no, she's celibate, but they would do everything else.
And you know, it just goes to show though, Buffy, it really does go to show, like, that is the type of narrative around it. All of it is sex, all of it are sexual acts, but it's only that penetrative sex that is seen as sex, or that, like, and that's what people know. This is not like, this is what's common knowledge.
Exactly.
So, that's interesting.
Yeah. Did we get sex ed in secondary school? I don't know why I'm asking, like, I'm just like, maybe I missed it.
You missed it, right? We didn't get it in secondary school. I didn't get it in primary school. And I realize now that I'm really proud of my mom for, like, instituting some kind of sex ed into, you know, I still think it could be more, but she runs the primary school in Calabar, and they do have some form of sex ed. And they don't, like, the kids don't shy away from, like, talking, or they don't shy away from talking to the kids about certain things, like, at their level, right? Which I think is so essential. I literally think that at every level of children's development, there should be some form of sex education.
Definitely.
We got none. We got zero.
And, you know, and the thing is that when I think of, like, sex, and I think that's the issue with our education system now. That's the issue with religion, because even this concept of 1 minute enjoyment, everlasting sorrow, my family is very religious, very Christian, so like it's definitely like rooted in a lot of Christianity, but it's the fact that we don't even talk about our bodies. We don't talk about sensuality, and, you know, like even like intimacy. We don't talk about like any of those things growing up. So from a child, you're not even talking about your body. Like, are you even able to look into the mirror and be like, okay, these are my breasts. This is my vulva. This is like, you know.
Dude, breast is a taboo word. Like, I don't think I could say breast for the longest time. Meanwhile, did I not have them?
And everybody
has
breasts. Like, it's literally an organ, like literally, right?
But it's so interesting though, because the human body, right, and particularly for women, I think, is highly sexualized. Like, the naked body is highly sexualized, yet.
Yeah.
No conversations around it. Like, and I'm not even saying that we should have conversations about our bodies because people have sex with their bodies. No, I'm just saying that, like, it's so fascinating how sexualized the body is, yet there's just complete silence around conversations that even have to do with sex and your body. You know, like, that's just, it's so ridiculous. It doesn't make any kind of sense.
Yeah. So we don't talk about it on any like front, you know, and for me, one of the key things that I feel like is such a disservice, even in talking about, like now, particularly talking about like sex, is like the women's reproductive organ. What do we call like the process of menstruating, even?
Yes.
For folks that have uterus.
A uterus. Mm-hmm.
Not just women. You know, like people are completely curious, but folks that then either have like sexual relations or relationship with like people that have uterus, women and other folks.
Mm-hmm.
People are so clueless, but that's such a
key
aspect of one either of being able to reproduce to an extent. Gosh, I hope I'm trying to think through all of the thoughts, but like maybe I don't know if there are folks that can reproduce without having periods. I'd be curious about that if because I'm questioning might it be possible,
yeah.
But anyways, to the point of, you know, a key aspect of reproduction is even being able to understand the menstrual cycle.
And the menstrual cycle, that again is that it's a taboo to talk about. Is you literally have to walk around as someone who's menstruating, mm-hmm. acting like you don't menstruate.
Literally, you have to hide your. If you're going to, you have to hide the tampon.
You hide your pad.
You have to
scurry to the bathroom. Okay. You know, why? You can't talk about, you get stained, it's such an embarrassing mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah. Anyways, like moment of just pause and reflection.
Yeah.
Question for you though, when did you feel like you could start having conversations about like sex, about sexuality, about intimacy?
Let me see. When did I feel like I could? Let me say, like, when did I feel comfortable, honestly? Because mm-hmm. I think everything else before that was just like it was like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
I genuinely think it was like my mid-20s, maybe from like 25, 26, like feeling comfortable having conversations about a movie. And I mean private conversations, right? Like, where I'm not like, okay, like, let's get this over with because, like, I just need to, like, you know, we just need to say this for because it needs to be said versus just having conversation like this.
Yeah.
You know, late 20s, bruh. Like, before then, it was, I either felt like I didn't need to be having those conversations. I felt like it was embarrassing or I felt like it was awkward or mm-hmm. I felt naive. You know, or yeah, just general discomfort around it until then.
Did something shift? Like, did something allow you to get there? Like, yeah, was there a moment or moments or?
Yeah, for sure. I think I started watching more of these like sex ed, if for lack of a better word, shows. And also, I think grad school too. So in grad school, I was very particular about taking a lot of like women's health classes, especially being in public health. And we talked very openly about sex and sexuality. And so I think that was kind of like the start, but I think the point where I was actually able to really just be talking about it was, I honestly think it was Netflix. Like I think shows like Sex Explained by Vox, and you know, later like mm-hmm. Principles of Pleasure, but shows like that, I'm like, bruh, I first of all, I should be talking about these things. Like, I should have certain knowledge. I should be talking about these things with my friends. And I should be, for me, it's also about passing on that knowledge. Like, I should be able to talk to my sister about this, or mm-hmm. if there's any other girls that are younger than me that like need to have these conversations, let them be somebody that me be somebody that they can come to and feel comfortable talking to, and let me also be able to like share and have back and forth conversations with them around this. So for me, I even just started seeing it as integral, which it is. You know, these are important conversations, like sex and like reproduction and our reproductive systems. These are all things that are just so inherent. How can we have so much silence around them? And so much like taboo and discomfort.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. I there's two thoughts that are coming to my head, and the first thing is that before, because I want to answer that question as well on when I started feeling comfortable talking about sex and stuff. But prior to that, something I was thinking about is, did you guys talk about sex when you were in secondary school? Like in your year?
In my year. So, yes and no. I'm gonna say yes because it was just like this person is having sex.
Was
Since
there a lot of
outside of
shame?
that, oh, of
Because
course. There was so much shame around it. It was like, whoa, they're doing a bad thing. This person is like, yeah, this person is a bad person. Yeah, for doing that. Like, whoa.
I
You know,
remember,
bad.
like, we shamed, we
Oh.
slut shamed so
Oh.
many girls that were having sex, or yeah, they were having sex, like different forms of sex, when we were in secondary school. And now it's just so, it's so saddening. And you know, you're like, oh, I hope that these women have, I don't know, gotten forms of liberation and freedom from it, because like there were things that in my year at least that we did that was incredibly, like if someone says they're traumatized, I
I
would
know,
say it
really.
makes sense,
It makes
because like
sense.
we literally shamed people.
Oh,
There
wow.
was like physical, what do you call it? I don't know. I don't know
Like,
if that, like
yeah, probably the
hitting.
people here. Yeah, it was physical abuse.
Yeah,
Really?
because like someone is having, yeah, oh my God. Anyways, I will tell you after,
Yeah.
but there are people that were literally harassed and punished and shamed
Yeah.
because they were having sex at, how old were we then? I don't know, between somewhere
Whatever,
between
like
13 to
between
16.
13 to 16, and you go back and you look at it and you're it's just like, why? But it's that way that we were brought up, you know, like
Oh yeah.
you're in fact you're thinking that you're helping the, but like why are you the, maybe we can help you never do this again.
Oh, that was where we were coming from. Like, you should not be doing
You
that.
should not be
Like,
doing that. And like the thing is, yeah, me,
crazy.
I definitely like, I'm sure I never like outwardly said anything to anyone, but I was proper scared of girls that I knew had, like I was scared of them. I was like, well, what else can
Wow.
you do?
Oh my God. That's so
Bruh,
embarrassing.
this is incredibly embarrassing.
But to answer the question,
Yes.
and the reason why I brought that up, because I think that obviously those things then linger, because like I started really talking about sex, like comfortably and with like details that are more nuanced with my friends, like from like 23, like 23,
Yeah, bro.
24.
Yeah.
That was the age. And now to like make that comparison is that, imagine people were having sex as early, people are having sex as early as 14, 15 years old, which
Yes.
I mean, I think is okay, as long as like, you know, it's safe, it's consensual, and all of these things, which are like, which is
Very key.
knowledge that we never got in, even
Never
just to
ever
have
got.
like, what is consent? Like, as a girl, you're just told don't have sex, because automatically that means like anybody that, like, your body is not even yours. So we don't even get taught about, no, I don't want this, or no, I don't want to touch me, or
Exactly.
no, I don't want to
No,
kiss, or
do you
no.
understand?
Because I think that's even powerful enough, education. And I wish that, like, you know, in my case, in the instance of being told 1 minute enjoyment, everlasting sorrow, I wish the alternative of that was, hey, your body is your body. You get to choose what you want to
What
do.
you want
Yes,
to
might there be
do?
implications on if you don't have safe sex, and
Yes.
if you're not having protected sex and all of these things, yes. But here's how you choose, because a lot of times I think the impact is that girls don't feel like they have a choice. Like, it's not even
No.
their, but and that's how the world really interacts with many
Exactly.
women, many femmes, many like folks. Like, it's just that like our bodies are like, is bodies for everybody, you know?
Correct. Correct. You know, like sex being a thing that's like done to you, right? Or it's for like a specific purpose, or it's just like you have no say really in the matter.
Literally. So I remember being 23 like years old with like a group of my friends, and like we hadn't had sex then. Like, we were, anyways, I was going to say we're virgins, but I know that concept doesn't even make sense, because we hadn't had, I know I hadn't had like penetrative
Penetrative
sex, but
sex, yeah.
I had definitely had other forms of sex. So anyways, screw even the concept of being a virgin. And I remember then, like, we would, like, talk about it. And it was just so, I think that those were one of the more liberating years of my life, to be able to sit down with these girls. And, you know, they would, like, we would, each other, like, we would talk about, like, details. Like, we would talk very much, like, minute details of how we were engaging in sex.
I'm very much needed, Mofi. Like, I honestly think that that's very much needed, especially just because of how repressed we've been, right? Like, sometimes those conversations are even helpful to your other friends to be like, whoa, I don't think what's happening in my situation is what's supposed to be happening.
Yeah.
You know, on different levels, right? Like, it may not necessarily be something so extreme, but, oh, whoa, are you telling me that, like, I could say I want this, or I could say let's do this type of thing? You know, you hear your friends talk about that and you're like,
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Literally. It got to an extent that we were actually like, for one of our friends, we were actually like, let's start like recurring sex ed, like talk, like literally come and teach us. Cause like she was a little bit more like, just, she could do a bit more research. She had more knowledge. Like, she knew about more stuff than we did, that like literally would come to those spaces for education. So imagine us 20-something year old girls like teaching each other about sex, teaching each other about our bodies, teaching each other about like pleasure, and also like this, and I like, there's just not enough time to unpack so many things, but I'm also like, there's such a difference between even just talking about sex, talking about like being sensual, like sensuality, about intimacy, about pleasure. Like, you can even be having sex and not be having pleasure, you know?
Correct.
It's true, but to the point of what you also said earlier around, I think just the impact of where we're at right now, like socially and culturally around, like, there's so much, like Netflix, as shitty as Netflix is, because Netflix is going through things right now, actually, and people are, anyways, but
there's just so much.
There's just so much like education that we're able to get in this age, day, and time. Yes,
oh, that before God. We couldn't. And even now, like, I feel like I'm still learning, bro. Oh, like, for I'm sure. still learning for sure. so much. For I'm sure. like, what do you mean that isn't true? Like, what? That's what Cosmopolitan magazines. Oh my God. Or whatever ridiculous places I was getting like some form of sex ed from, you know, because I didn't get it growing up.
Yeah. Are there things you've unlearned?
Oh my God. Are there things I've unlearned? Dude, there's so many things that I've unlearned. Like, and I'm going to start from a big, like one that's really a big one for me is really unlearning that aspect of like in a heterosexual relationship, for example, like sex is something that a man does to a woman, right? Like, he dictates when it happens, how it happens. It's only supposed to happen this one way. You can't say like what you want or what is pleasurable to you. You know, I always thought that like penetrative sex was like, yeah, that's just how people get pleasure from sex. Like, what else are you, what else are you doing? Come to find out, most women are not getting orgasms from penetrative sex. Come on. I was like,
Your clit is not even inside your vagina to begin with. Like, I mean, there are women that are getting pleasure through that, but like,
yes, but like, there's a huge percentage of women who will not orgasm from penetrative sex. And I was like, whoa, this is crazy. And that's also true. Just learning, I guess, like unlearning actually whatever it was I knew about the naming and like structure of my vulva, you know, like there's all these things, like you don't know where things are, you don't even look at the thing, like unlearning that it's taboo to kind of like interact with that area. Like, girl, get a mirror and look, okay? Literally. Know where things are, like, okay, it's your body.
Literally, it's your body. It's like, and for all the food, and that's why I'm like, bodies are just so important to learn and understand for all types of genders, for all types of people. I think like we just need to know how to interact with people's bodies, or to take the time to learn the bodies of ours, like ours and people that we might be having sex with.
Having sex with.
I was hanging out with some people yesterday and we were talking about how, I kind of remember the context, but these were like heterosexual couples, cis heterosexual couples as well. And they're just talking about how, like, some guy was saying how, you know, a couple, they couldn't find the hole where he would put his penis in. And I feel like...
I'm laughing, but, like, fair enough.
You know, I mean, I want to, like... I'm dying because I'm... Sorry, every time I imagine it kills me. But, like, okay, the reason why I'm dying is that, like, it's so absurd, you know? It's like, whoa, what the fuck? Even, like, it's a problem. I think it's a problem, let's say
it's
that.
It's a huge problem, babes. It's a huge problem.
And I'm gagging at the fact that I remember, and this might be TMI, but it's what it is. I remember, like, us, like, trying to even go through the process of wearing a tampon and how... How that was such, like, it was one of the more stressful experiences I've had in my entire life.
Do you mean when you and I in Montreal?
Yes, you or and just I in Montreal. Like... I feel like even the first times, like, we were on the phone, like, on video call, being like, I don't know if you remember that, but like
where like, does I this thing go?
It's painful, it's not entering the right place.
It's not in the right place, y'all. I was in the spa bathroom in Montreal, be like, Mofi, I don't know where this thing goes. And I'm sure a lot of you can relate, right? Because, like, even on the episode of Principles of Pleasure, there was a person talking about how her mom was just like, you need a tampon, right? You're starting your period here. Here's a tampon. What do I know what to do with that thing? I don't know where things are. I don't know what hole it goes in. Okay.
Where am I putting this thing?
And it can actually be detrimental if you don't put it in the right place.
Yeah. But it wouldn't even be able to go in.
And then what if you don't know how in is supposed to go? So you just put it there and it's there, but it's not supposed to be there.
Yeah. It's crazy, yo.
Yeah, so it's not even, like, yeah, you know, you might laugh about, oh, you know, they don't know where the person that you're having sex with doesn't know where the hole is. Do you know where it is? Because it's like, nobody knows where it is.
Mm-hmm. And there's so much pressure, like, attached to it. So, like, folks mm-hmm. might not even take the time to just, like, explore. Like, okay, touch things. Like, look, yes. See where things are. I remember there was a time I was having a conversation and everything is so interconnected because I was having a conversation with, not a conversation, it was a party, like a hangout, and people were playing, you know, all of these like games. People love sexual games. And that's another thing. We're so deprived as a society that
sexual games.
When we get together, like everybody's trying to play like
French kiss the boy across like, the room.
Even at this big
age. Oh, our big ages. Go into the closet and kiss. Remove your top. How many people? Can't you think of something interesting?
People love it. But I remember I was at this thing and we're playing one of these games and I think it was like, would you ever have a threesome? And there were a lot of straight folks there and you know, this girl was like, yes. And people were like, okay, talk about the composition of your threesome. Would it be like male and female? Would it be two men, one woman, two women, one man? Because how dare it be all women or all men or all, you know, it's like, ha! Anyways. And somebody was like, I think she was just explaining in how like she'd be able to like make out or kiss a woman, but would not be able to do anything beyond that or that's like including the vulva because I don't want to even have to like look at that or like mine already enough is gross.
Yeah.
So like how am I going to like look at another woman's vulva? Yeah, and vulva. I'm just like,
yeah.
This is sad and this is such like so much like internalized like I don't even know if I could call it like self-hate or something. Because like it's like we can look at penises.
Oh yeah.
You can touch penises, you can put it in your mouth, you can like do whatever with it. But like to look at
a vulva, to even look at your own vulva, it's like, gross.
Gross.
We've been taught so much around like whatever happened, especially like people who menstruate, like we've just been taught that like that area is like unclean. Mm-hmm. It's meanwhile the vagina is very great at cleaning itself, okay?
Literally.
It's nice and clean down there. You don't need to do anything extra. Okay. So like it's just, yeah, on learning those types of things too. Like Mophie, growing up, did you even know that you're not supposed to put soap in your, like, to use soap to clean your vulva? Like, nobody tells you these things, right? And then you start having itchiness and all sorts of things that you're like, where is this coming from? You don't know. You go to a doctor. Hopefully it's a good doctor and they mm-hmm. can help you, or it's one that just makes you feel, you know, like you're talking nonsense. But there's so much misinformation, I think, yes. around our bodies. And I think it does play into our experiences with sex and like even feeling like sexual, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because
there's also like somebody asked me recently, gosh, I wish there's so much to unpack here. We have to wrap this up very soon. But even just like feeling sensual, like, you know, it's just even that experience of being with yourself, being able to like, I don't know, do so many different things, but it's about that connection with your body. Imagine that there's many people that are having sex and that they're not even like connecting on a sensual level. People find it hard to even talk about like watching porn, to talk about like masturbating. I know that that has been so, so, so demonized and mm-hmm. criminalized. Mm-hmm. Just say criminalized.
Not criminalized.
That's more than you do to do. It has been so demonized. For like to masturbate, and I think that's a whole other thing. And yeah, not everybody masturbates, not everybody wants to do that. There's many folks that are not even sexual, like sexual beings. Mm,
exactly.
But growing up, porn, masturbating, that one you're going to hell. Like that one
directly.
They will
even
come and take you.
They'll come and pick you.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's so crazy how like, the ways in which we interact with and talk about sex and our bodies is also so tied to culture and religion and lots of demonizing around certain things. And to what end?
To what end? So two things I want to like wrap up this conversation with is that, first thing, actually, somebody asked me this recently, like, what I like, what, how do I like to be intimate? And I really, really appreciated that conversation.
I love that question. Like,
because it was like, it's not about like sex. Like for me, I was like, intimacy looks like going out to the club together, honestly.
Aww.
Like that is one, like that's a major aspect of intimacy, like to be able to like dance with somebody that I'm feeling, like, you know, be flirty, be sensual, like all of that stuff, like that's like some deep intimacy,
yes.
You know, it looks like cuddling, it looks like watching TV together, it looks like eating together.
Oh like, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes.
So y'all should think about that.
Yeah.
What's intimacy?
And those are also things that like, I think can even, if you are having sex, can it like, improve your sexual experience, right? Like the only time that, it's not that the only time that you're intimate with your partner is when you're about to have sex, but like all these other little things like throughout the day, you know, I'm standing and you like, you pass me and you like put your rest your hand on my shoulder, or you come and sit next to me on the couch. And even if we're literally not talking, we're like both reading a book, but I can feel your presence, I can feel that closeness. I so much love it.
Where do you get your sex ed right now?
Right now, I get my sex ed from, I will say my friends, one of them is my friends, Netflix. I really don't want to be giving Netflix too much credit here, but, you know, things like Principles of Pleasure, they're so good, like, they're very educational. There are some books that, like, I've been recommended, like, Come As You Are by Emily, I do not remember her name, but, yeah, so books, educational like documentaries and things like that, and also just like talking to my friends, you know, because sometimes your friends' experiences as well are some form of education, you know, or even just having those communal conversations.
Definitely. There's another book that we read way back then called She Comes First. Also really, really interesting and really good book. I think it was written by a man, but anyways, For me also, I like just following like some sex educators. I think that has been like my biggest like change. Like Shan Booty is my favorite. Like I love Shan. Evian Whitney as well. Like Evian, their podcast back then used to be called The Sexually Liberated Woman. Now it's called Now it's called Sensual Self with Evian Whitney. But then like Evian would just like unpack like even how like how colonization has impacted the way we think about sex, like pleasure, so many things. Those were like my biggest like game changers when I started unpacking and unlearning and just deconstructing and decolonizing. Yes,
because there's so much to deconstruct and unlearn. Yeah. So much. Y'all think there isn't? You might think there isn't, but there's so much.
Well, that's where we would end our conversation for today. Thanks, Tiese, for, you know, being uncomfortable. I don't know if you're uncomfortable, but like just leaning into the conversation. So y'all please share with us your little comments, your little thoughts around sex, around sensuality. Maybe our question would be, What did you wish you knew growing up about sex and sexuality and sexuality and all of that stuff?
I love that.
Yes. So we're going to take a break and we'll see you on the other side.
All right, y'all. So here are a few of our favorite things. Mofi, start us off.
All right. So speaking of Netflix and Netflix, Selling Sunset is back. You know, I feel like we've talked about this or talked about variations of it, but honestly, I'm just here for it, here for the drama, here for all of the blonde white women. There's one new cast member on Selling Sunset that's black, a black woman. Originally, she's British, but lives in America.
Okay.
And her family, her parents are Nigerian immigrants as well. So she's giving all that needs to. She's
giving everything.
She's giving everything. So it's been really fun watching that. I also watched this, I guess, docu-series. You know how Netflix is doing all of these.
They love it so much.
Yes. It's called White Hot, The Rise and Fall of Abercrombie and Fitch.
Mm-hmm. I saw that. I didn't watch it, but I was like, this is probably going to be a mess. Probably a very problematic company.
Literally. It's just literally talking. Yeah, the rise and fall of that company and how everything was rooted in exclusion, essentially. And exclusion of, like, anybody that was not, like, skinny and white and beautiful, in quotes, and however they defined that.
Yeah, so those guys used to have shirtless models standing outside of the store. And I always generally felt like I couldn't go to that store. Not even because I thought like I knew anything about them being problematic, but I just felt like they didn't cater to me. I was like, I don't think you guys make clothes for me.
And they weren't. They weren't trying to make clothes for you, honestly.
That's just the truth. That's just the fact of the matter. But it's interesting how you can feel that. You know, like you can feel that without anybody explicitly telling you, this store is not for you.
Yep. So that was some shit. And the last thing is for all my Drag Race fans, the finale was this past week and it was just giving everything. No spoilers. So
I'm just gonna put that out there.
For folks that watch Drag Race. Wink, wink. Let's talk.
So much Drag Race, wink, wink. Oh my god. Okay. Well, my highlights today, guys, or people listening, excuse me, are all about scents. I feel like people on the podcast don't know that I love nice smelling things. I mean, I guess generally people do, but I love scents. I love them in any form. Candles, diffusers, my soap that I use to shower, my body cream. I just love things smelling nice.
Okay.
So my highlights today are all about scents. So the first one is a perfume by Flower Bomb. It's called Flower Bomb Midnight. And I got this as a Christmas gift from my uncle. And when I tell you that spraying this thing makes me feel like I am a princess in a garden, I don't even know. Like, I just love how this scent interacts with my body and it's so nice. So, you know, if you're by your nearest Sephora or Bloomingdale's or whatever you have access to, you should check that scent out. Also, Victor and Rolf, they make really good scents just in general.
Okay.
So, but Flower Bomb is the classic Flower Bomb and Flower Bomb Midnight. Delicious. What perfume are you using these days? I feel like we used to talk about perfume a lot, and not a lot, but like.
I'm using a Dior one right now.
Ooh, the one that was in your room.
Yes.
Nigeria. Yes.
Yes. That's my
very nice one.
Yes. That's my favorite one. Honestly, I really like that scent. There's another by, God, I feel like I don't know how to pronounce them, so maybe you know, please correct me. It's by Mason Francis. Yeah.
I know the one.
Yes, exactly. You all just type Mason Francis, you see it. I'm using also a scent from there as well.
From there? Yeah. Are you using Baccarat Rouge? I feel like everybody loves Baccarat Rouge. But maybe that's not the one you're using. Anyway, yeah, that's also another good perfume, like, place, brand to get perfume from. I mean, I don't know about the brand, but whatever. Their perfume smell nice. I don't know if it's a problematic brand, okay? I'm not going to speak for anybody. The next scent is these, like, wallflowers that you can plug into, like, sockets in your room. And it just, like, releases the scent. So I got this salted butterscotch and vanilla one. Yo, when I tell you that my room smells like a Parisian bakery. Okay, I don't know what Parisian bakery smell like, but like my room smells delicious. Like, it smells so good. It smells like when you walk in there, you should pick up warm hot chocolate, hot cookies. It's amazing. Wow. I love it. They were having a sale. I went and I bought 5. Because I need my room to always smell like that. It's great. I love it.
Okay.
It's so good. So yeah, if you have a Bath and Body Works near, it's close to you. I think that's probably, I don't know where else they have it. But also, I love like food leaning types of things, like vanilla, butterscotch, toffee, you know, things like that. I absolutely love. And that takes me to my last scent, which is from Forever Mood, Jackie Aina's candle brand, which makes honestly really incredible candles. It's at a premium, but the candles are really, really nice. Like, they're quite expensive, honestly, Jackie. but they smell really good. So I have absolutely no problems investing in them. But one of my favorite ones is Hey Big Head. And it's that same, like, I think it's toffee and like vanilla, whatever. Anyway, my room just smells good enough to eat, and I absolutely adore it. So yeah, for all my I don't know what they call them, but for people who love scents, try any of these out and let me know.
I want to get, yeah, I love candles. I don't, yeah, I really like candles. So, but yeah. Forever Moon, I don't have money.
Bruh, I did a haul and I was like, okay, I'm not buying candles again. Because I mean, to be fair, they are quite big. Right, so it's, you know, they're worth the money that you spend on them, but you know, how do you justify spending $50 on one candle? It just is up to you.
Exactly.
It's up to you. If you can justify it, go ahead.
Gosh, we need to be living that hashtag luxury life,
hashtag lux, hashtag black girl lux. Like, I'm trying to tap into this, bruh. But yeah, those are our highlights. And that brings us to the end of our episode. Thank you all so much for hanging with us. If you've made it this far, you're a real one. If you're not already subscribed on any of our platforms, I don't see why not. You can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and you can listen to us on Anchor and Google Podcasts and wherever else you listen, okay? We're also on socials, IG and Twitter at Our Fave Pods. Mophie, where can everybody find you?
You can find me on Twitter, I'm a Miss Badmus, and on Instagram, I'm Miss Badmus as well, and Mophie's book collection.
Oh, no. Mophie's edition.
Sorry. Mophie's edition. Morphe's edition, in case Morphe's you didn't hear
edition.
That.
And y'all can find me on Instagram and Twitter. I'm there at Tiese, T-I-I-E-S-E. You can also read my travel blog, samefootprints.com. All right, y'all. Until next time, stay safe, be kind. Don't forget to find something to be grateful for.